From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV, LP, Burlington. Streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Today on Write the Book, you'll hear two new interviews, both with Vermont writers. Megan Price is the author of the wildly popular Vermont Wild, a collection of several volumes of mostly humorous but occasionally harrowing true retired game warden stories. And Tony Whedon is a Vermont poet who was just nominated for the Vermont Book Award for his essay collection, Drunk in the Woods. We discuss that, but also a few brand new poems. First up, my interview with Megan Price, a former award-winning journalist, Vermont legislator, woodswoman, and overall genuine, funny person. Bestsellers since their introduction a decade ago, her Vermont Wild series relates true, edge-of-your-seat retired game warden adventures. Vermont Wild was recently optioned for a TV series. Family-friendly throughout, the stories are a hit for ages 9 to 99. They're used as bedtime stories, taught in school, taken to hunting camp, and read out loud in nursing homes. When I spoke to Megan by phone last week, I began by reading an excerpt from one of her books, and then we talked from there. I hope you enjoy our conversation. A warden runs into all kinds of characters, and a foursome from down country ranks near the top of my strangest encounters. I was with Deputy Warden Ken King near Cook Hill Road in Greensboro, waiting for night hunters. It was a little more than a week before the opening day of rifle season, but some guys like to cheat and get a jump on the season. There was a well-kept hayfield with some old apple trees along the tree line, a combination deer find hard to resist. I knew it was a popular spot with poachers and thought it might prove to be again this night. I backed the truck into the brush well off the dirt road. Ken and I got out and draped a camo tarp over it to help hide the chrome bumpers, rearview mirrors, and windshield from any spotter's light that might wash over us. So that's just the very beginning of Cadillac Jack in Vermont Wild Volume 4. And Megan Price, you are the author of these books, although they are often other people, I think mostly other people's stories.
They're all retired warden stories.
Yeah. Okay. And they're wonderful. And they're you know, they really remind, I'm sure you've heard this before, they reminded me a little bit of James Harriet, but Vermont style. Did you ever used to read James Harriet books when you were a kid?
Well, I watched it religiously on PBS. and so I love that VP did. I would just watch and sit with my dad and watch it. And I did read some of his stuff, but it's been a long time since then. It took me, honestly, years to find this voice because I envisioned doing this an entirely different way. I did tons of research. I got it all wrong. And I will give a woman who finally straightened me out. Her name is Deborah Russell Sanborn, and she was a librarian in Maidstone, Vermont. And when I ran into her, I said, "You do what?" And she said, "I'm a librarian in Maidstone, Vermont." And I said, "Good God, I've been a Vermonter all my life, so I've lived around the country, and what do children read now? What do the boys read?" And she rolled her eyes and said, "You know, what they really read, what they love to check out, is True Attacks of Grizzly Bears."
Oh, my God.
And I said, "I'd read that. I love things like that. I would read that." And she had asked me what I was doing, and I said I was writing a book, and it was taking years. It was making me crazy, and game warden stories. And she said, "You know what? I think they'd read that." And it just slipped, like a light bulb went off. And I said, "I've got to change how I'm doing this." I was writing for other wardens and for adults.
Okay.
And I find that other wardens all think they've had just as many great adventures and da-da-da as the fellows I'm writing about, and say they don't really read other guys' books. They'll read some, but then they'll get, no.
Right.
When you said I could write, kids would read it, and I could get kids to read and love the outdoors and maybe protect wildlife and care and get some ethics and conservation, that changed the entire way I was writing. And I put it in the first person because it's more intimate, and you feel like you're sitting around a campfire, and you're into the story immediately, which is what I want.
Yes.
There's not a lot of flourishes. There's not a lot of color. You know, I stay away from D.H. Lawrence going on for hours about the color of the carpet. I mean, I can't do that stuff anymore. I have no patience for it after studying literature for 100 years. I can't do it anymore. So that's why the stories are the way they are, and it's worked out tremendously, and I'm very, very thankful, and it's fun.
Yeah, and the one I just read is from Volume 4. Volume 1, the very first story, literally jumps right into water. Like, literally, right within the first couple pages, you've got a game warden up to his knees in icy cold water trying to catch somebody, running on, like, slippery rocks. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's all... These guys have tremendous adventures, and I was a reporter for years, and I realized we always heard the state police on the scanner, what they were doing. But, you know, there's always people around, and they're... I don't want to say police are safe, but there's someone usually to bail them out. Some human being is watching often, you know. But in the woods, it's all a toss-up.
Right.
You got Mother Nature, wild animals. Everybody carries a gun. That's why they're in the woods hunting. I mean, and there's just so much that can go wrong. And you get so hungry and so tired. These guys are so tough. I have the greatest admiration for them.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and the first book is all... Eric News.
It was Eric's idea to do a book. He came to me, and I was out of work, very ill, some autoimmune thing. I was a wreck, and had was dealing with my eyes, so I couldn't go anywhere. I was really bad, and had no health insurance besides. So, at 55, I had just fallen apart, and it was shocking to me. And so Eric kept showing up and saying, you know, I've got good stories, you've got good stories, why don't we do a book? And I say, Eric, everybody thinks they can write a book. Everybody wants to do a book. Go away. And so, but he would come back. Eric is persistent. He would come back like every 6 months. Hey, how's it going? I said, Eric, for God's sake, leave me alone. But then I realized I had to have something to do when I'm a writer. I mean, that's how I got paid all my life. I've been writing since I was a little kid. I needed to write. And so I got him to tell me his stories, and I went, you did what? You blew up a dead moose and almost killed yourself? You did what? And on, and the raccoons, oh, my, you know, it's hilarious. So I said, you know, this could work. And so it gave me something to do when I have a best friend, Gene, who kept pushing me and saying, are you working on that? And again, leave me alone. So it took several years, honestly, back and forth. And I put the stories aside, and this is one thing I recommend for writers. Write your stories, do a draft, put it aside, and do not think about it. Go on to another one and leave it alone really for months.
Yeah.
And then come back and look at it at least a week, more like a couple months though. And you look at it and go, oh my God. And for me, it's like, oh my God, that's funny. I felt like, you know, I go, who wrote that? That's actually good. Or some of it, no, that's not good. That's got to be, you know. And so that's what I do. It takes me 18 months to 2 years for every book, no matter what I do. And each story takes me hundreds of hours, really.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I've written all my life, it takes me hundreds of hours, lots of edits, and then I have three editors after me.
So I was curious how you receive the stories from the people that tell them to you. Is that like something at a kitchen table where you're recording and taking notes, or do they write them down and send them to you, or how does that work?
The way I do is I track them down. And I say, do you have good stories? And they usually say, nah. And I say, I bet you do. If you did this job for 30 years, I want to hear them. And they're very reluctant because they're cops. And I get it. I'm very reluctant to share my stories. But so it's a matter of trust. And I say, look, I will show you the draft of this before it goes anywhere. I want to be fairly accurate. I hide all the poachers' names. Sometimes I'll hide the town. If it's a small town, it'll be a different town or
right.
be no town. Because it's just too close. They have grandkids now.
Right.
And I don't want to embarrass everybody. But the words are true. They're real. So the way I do it is I find these guys that are recommended to me, and I sit down with them, and I say, all I want you to do is write down the title of something, two or three words that triggers for you a memory. And it could be like the bear and the beagle. You just write that while you're having coffee in the morning on the back of an envelope and write down 30, 40 titles. And I'm going to come to your house or you come to mine and we're going to sit down. I'm going to have my pen out and a tape recorder and just tell me your stories.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
You know, and it's like no Potbelly stove with me getting really tired, and we just keep going for it.
Yeah.
I try not to interrupt them at the time. I try to just let them do it, and I will, in my head, I'm going, can I write this or not? Is there not enough detail? And I'm just analyzing, and they might tell me 40 stories, and maybe I can write 3 or 4 or 10 later.
Right, yeah. You know, I mean, I feel like these stories are so universal and relatable, especially in Vermont. But like, for example, I'm not from Vermont. I'm one of those people that came from somewhere else. I'm not a warden, and I'm not a kid. But I've had a dog go through the ice. Yeah, I hit a deer this spring, and I have a pond. So, you know, so I'm really interested in how one, you know, does or doesn't or isn't allowed to restock their pond. So it's like every single story had something interesting for somebody, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
What is Vermont, but hopefully wild. But I was out rescuing another frigging snapping turtle caught under a bridge last night, trying not to get bit. A huge snapping turtle.
Yeah.
Stopping like that because I'm old and fat and tired. But I can try to help a turtle. I'm faster than those turtles. When I'm looking in my car, and I usually carry a shovel in the spring to push them, and it was going to get killed. And you know, and there were nice people trying to help, and other people going, what are you doing in the road? And you just never know. But to me, I can't leave the animal. So I managed to get it. God, you know, I did it without getting bit. My coat smells really bad now. But
yeah.
That's just, to me, we're not the only animal on the planet. And for
right.
us just to think that we have to, animals have no voice. I'm big on animals. I always have been. So this
right.
is a way for me to help serve, protect, and promote. And these guys are tremendous. These guys are just tremendous guys.
Yeah. And the other thing is, these are very funny stories, but they're also sometimes dangerous. They involve the beauty of Vermont, conservation efforts, relationships, and community. You know, there's just a lot going on in these, you know, they seem sort of deceptively simple, these stories, but there's an awful lot going on in them.
Well, that's very kind. Yeah, there is. And so, you know, they're actually used in schools now from Maine to Texas. I'm just like, so blessed and so happy, and people send these books all over the world. I mean, I get people saying, I'm sending this to my son in Portugal. I go, great, I haven't been to Portugal. I'm sending this to Afghanistan. My son's a soldier. Terrific. You know, I mean, it's just, and I meet people, what really keeps me going, because I want to quit all the time. It's like, okay, I'm done. But I'd like to do all 50 states, quite honestly, et cetera. But I run into moms or somebody who's got someone who's very ill and who loves the woods. And last fall I did this because I'll go to a craft show so I can see real people and they tell me stuff, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I get actual feedback. So I was at this event and a woman came up and said, my son loves your books. And I said, thank you. And she was maybe in her 40s and very well dressed, didn't look like the type to me, really. And then she paused and I just shut up, which is unusual for me, and she said, he's on the heart transplant list.
Oh.
And I realized, you know, for anybody, he can't get outdoors anymore. He
right.
can't go. And so for him to read these stories, maybe he loves the outdoors, I have no idea how old he is, but I got a feeling teens, maybe 20s. This is his way of getting out in the woods. And
yeah.
that's what just makes me cry. So yeah. I go, I have to write another book.
Right. right.
One woman told me that her husband, she was taking him to chemo. And she was in the room waiting while he's doing chemo, and he brought the book and then left it with her. I'm going in, and he left it with her. And she had nothing to read, was sick of the magazine, so she picked it up in the hospital waiting room, and she's reading the book, and she starts cracking up, laughing like crazy. And everybody's giving her dirty looks and this and that. And she said, you know, he's still alive, and I'm still alive, and I'm happy to be laughing in a tough situation. And I
yeah.
said, thank you. You know, to me,
yeah.
it's a way of overcoming our situation.
Yeah.
Which is what these guys do. They have to MacGyver their way out of this stuff all the time. They got to figure it out on their own.
Right. Right. Exactly. Now, you have illustrations in the books. And so I just want to know how you decided to sort of organize them all together, you know, both structurally and just having the graphic component.
Well, it's a huge struggle. It's just, I'm wrestling with it now. I have a new book coming out in probably the next 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm setting up book signings now, and I'm deciding what order the stories are going. That's my next challenge. I mean, I write the back matter. I do the forward. I do everything, trying to figure it out in my own wacky style. The books themselves, I give credit to the people that helped me, which nobody does. I mean, I'm convinced the editors often make a writer. And And I know they do. And it's sort of been hinted at when I listen to something about so-and-so and what they did. And then you have an editor come on and say, oh, yeah. And they try to obliquely say, I wrote the book. You know, they did. They had an idea, but I actually made it a book. And I give the typesetter credit. I give the artist, the cover artist credit. I give the interior illustrator credit. And I put their photos in there, which sort of hurts me because other people track them down and hire them. So cut it out when I need them. But, and then we collaborate on the art. I mean, I'm still in charge. You know, I'm the publisher and the writer and I'm do everything. And it's like the Wizard of Oz. So, but what I wanted was, is it a success or a failure? I thought, well, it's my 401k. I can't take it with me. I'm going to spend it the way I want. And going to sell these books and do it, it was so different that that was a bit of a challenge. Who's going to take these books? And you have to make it so professional. You have to make it rock so good.
Yeah.
That I just took a chance. And when the books took off, it was great. How I decide? Well, I'm doing that now. It's you want to bring people up. It's like a song. To me, these books are actually poetry of a sort.
Right.
I'm real big on alliteration. I'm real big on things being punchy. Like when you read it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm Welsh, and I'm a singer, and I'm all that crap. So you just, it has to sing. It has to flow. It has to work. You have to be able to read this out loud and not stumble and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you are doing everything. So Pine Martin Press, that's you.
Yeah.
Now, how many books have you written so far? And you say you have another one coming.
This will be number 7 altogether because I did a Maine Wild too, which is a great book. It was immodestly a bestseller up there because Stephen King hadn't put anything out that year, I guess. And, and I publicized the heck out of it. But these books are so personal, you have to be there to market your book. I mean, I don't sell anywhere but in Vermont. I don't sell anywhere because I don't have a distributor. We don't fool with that. I don't do it. I pay a friend to go sell my books, and she's been busy this year, and so it's like, oop, things are slow, but I don't care. I just feel this need to keep writing and making people laugh, and the books sort of take off. I mean, they've been options for television now, so that would be terrific if that happened.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Now, you said they've been popular all over the place. You mentioned Portugal. So are tourists buying them and taking them other places?
Yeah, tourists buy them as much as locals. I mean, they're generally a bestseller in the top 3 or 4 at most bookstores in Vermont. And then they also go in kiddie drugstores, which has been tremendous for me and very helpful. I mean, because you can't survive on Vermont bookstores. There aren't enough of them.
Right.
And you have to go out and you have to market your book. So one thing I tell people is before you even think about writing, but before you do it, you've got to do the research. And that's what Amazon is good for.
Yeah.
I don't recommend buying there, but, you know, support local bookstores. But do your research. What is your genre? Where are you headed? What is it like? What is it not like? And so I did a lot of research, looking at Game Warden books, looking at this, writing, not so much writing for kids, because these books are read in nursing homes as well as used as bedtime stories. So I'm very careful not to use bad language. I use it all the time in person. I totally admit that. I'm like a sailor, it's bad. But not in the book. And, so it's family friendly and no blood, no gore, really. And it's just, it works. So I did tons of research and I realized nobody's doing what I want to do. And so I knew that a publisher wouldn't probably take it anyway, or they'd make me conform to something.
Right.
And I just said, I'm not doing it. I'm going to fail or be successful on my own. I want to do what I want to do. I'm a geezer now. I will do what I want.
That's wonderful. Now, you mentioned in an email to me that you have a new project going, which is moth-style storytelling, and I wanted to ask you about that. What are you doing?
I'm having a terrific time. I'm finally getting out of the house. That's great. I took a course from Sue Schmidt, who teaches storytelling and runs The Moth in Burlington.
Okay.
And I love stories, obviously, and I always have told stories, and it's hard to get people to sit down and look at me and go, why is she going on and on? But I actually sort of did stand up when I was like in fifth grade. I was like into it. I would stand up and tell goofy stuff.
Right.
And I've always wanted to do it. And I said, you know, you're old, you're fat, whatever. But if you're six, I turned 65 in April. I said, if you're ever going to do this, just friggin' do it. I mean, you're going to go, oh, I did do that. So I took this class and forced myself to go out on dark nights up to Burlington and take this class. And I said, I can do this. So I sit around, and that's why this book is late. It was supposed to be out much earlier, because I sit around and I talk to the cat, telling my story, and try to time it. And the cat goes, "Man, I'm really sick of this. You got any? Got any treats?" And then when it rocks and it's under 5 minutes, and I tell it differently every time, it's Bing. And so I went to the moth and I won the slam. Now that's the monthly thing, and 10 people tell their stories. And my stories, I try to make them all, well, they're true, but I have insane stories. That's why Eric said, you know, when you've got funny stories, I've got funny stories. I knew they wouldn't mesh in a book. He's a warden, I'm an idiot. But I have done incredibly dumb things with tractors, bulldozers, chainsaws, being a, you know, woodchuck hippie. I've hurt myself many, many ways on motorcycles, car rollovers, horses. I have many, and if you live, it's funny. I mean, so I'm still here. I'm pretty lame, but I'm still here, and it's funny. So yeah. I've decided, you know, I can't do what I used to do, but if you're alive and you can see the humor and keep going, that's most of it. So I try to laugh a lot at myself. I get very frustrated, but I also just laugh at myself. I mean, it's just fun to entertain people, and what I love about storytelling is it's immediate. Yeah. Immediate feedback. You don't have to go on, did you like my book? No, you either get the laughs and they love your story, or people just shake their head, you're nuts. And I say, thank you. I must be going now. I got to go write a book. They just go, oh, what was that? You know, in 5 minutes, you got them or not, and you're gone. So that's storytelling. I love it.
That's great. Okay, let's see. Oh, I know. I wanted to ask you, did you change things either for literary reasons or for legal reasons? I know you said you changed some names of towns and people. Was there anything else that you had to change to protect the warden or I don't know, just things you had to think about as you were putting it together?
I specifically looked for retired game wardens for a couple of reasons. One is they had a lot more fun. They were able to do a lot more. And in making personal decisions on how to deal with a situation. Now there's some SOPs, one guy called it, which is, what is it, standard operating procedure. You're supposed to look in the manual how to deal with this. I mean, we're so regulated now in everything we do, and so are they. So that's one reason I like retired game ones. The older, the better. I mean, in volume two, with a turkey on the cover, there was still a warden who shot out tires. That is very frowned upon now.
Yeah, I would guess.
That would not be allowed. But he did it. He was so old when I found him. He was terrific. And a guy named Howard Brown.
Okay.
Who, by the way, other ones have told me, was largely responsible for saving entire species of birds, seriously, up and down the East Coast. And he just lived in this very modest house in a little, you know, in Swanton, and he was tremendous. I said, what? Is this guy still alive? Oh, yeah, da-da-da. They just revered him. And Howard Brown would go up into Canada. Just deserves so much credit. Would go up into Canada, bring his black lab with him way up into their, this is DDT era, and try to find species of ducks that were being obliterated. And he would find them. He would use his dog to go into these horrible, thick marshes, mosquitoes. I just can't even imagine. Be up there all summer. Get these little birds, bring them back to Howard. He would put a band on their legs, and the dog would put the birds back in the nest.
Wow.
Then they would fly down the East Coast. They'd find them in Chesapeake Bay. They'd know what they had to do and where the birds landed, and they would start saving those bodies of water where these birds tried to breed and travel, et cetera.
Wow.
And without Howard, entire species would have been lost. So he's just an amazing guy.
Yeah. I was going to ask you what you like to read, other people's work.
Yeah, that's a problem. I read newspapers because I'm an old newspaper person. I love newspapers. I love, I'll basically read anything, but I don't read a lot of fiction. I love biographies. I love biographies and how do people overcome. So if I go to a bookstore, I'm always looking at biographies, some memoirs. I love adventure and outdoor stories. Patrick McManus, wrote for Sports Afield, has... I've actually got a couple of books signed by him. He passed away a few years ago. He's hysterical. He spins things out and made up characters, but they're funny.
You mentioned that you like reading newspapers. Who do you think is doing a good job these days in Vermont as a news resource?
I think Vermont Digger's doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I wish, you know, I like a little bit more balance, and I like editorials that what I really miss in newspapers are he said, she said. Why should I think this? Why is this a good idea? Why is that not? Why is the same thing not a good idea? Yeah. I've always appreciated hearing both sides of the story, and I do not see newspapers doing that. And they never really did. Most newspapers have their own kind of private, even if we don't get it, agenda.
Yeah.
But I think there's still not enough balance. But I vote for Vermont Digger the way they're doing things. That's immediate. You know, they're doing a good job. The way that's organized, very smart. They're running obituaries now, which I said, you know, you guys need to run obituaries, be a real newspaper, and they can run them statewide. So those are things that get people in. You hit a certain age, you're looking at the obituaries to see if you're in it, as my father always said.
So, I wanted to ask you, Megan, if you have any advice for other writers who might be wanting to create work that puts either their own work or somebody else's professional work into a book, comically or otherwise, like, what would your advice be?
Well, it's harder than you think. What people remember, and then I write the story and show it to them, and then they decide that's not the way it happened. So that can be very frustrating. Mm. And I'm going through a little bit of that right now. It has to do with snowfall. And they think it's easy to change the story. When I first heard the story, it was snowing like crazy. So that's the story builds, and snow is really one of the characters. Any time it's snow and a blizzard, it makes things really harder. Well, 18 months later, when I'm finally showing them the story, because it takes forever and I got dozens of stories that I'm writing, and it's hard for me to keep track of things. That, you know. So I'm sending the story, and they go, no, the snow wasn't like that. I'm like, what? No, da-da-da-da-da. And I have to go through that story again and change the snowfall and be very careful of when the snow came and when it got heavy and how that was factored in. I mean, the weather is a huge issue in these stories, and guys will get frustrated when I say, what was the weather like? What was the terrain like? But they are characters in these stories.
Sure, yeah.
So it's kind of funny, but it's true. So what kind of trees were there? They go, what the hell?
Yeah, but you know what? That's so important because you're telling somebody else's story. So you aren't able to call on your memory or your journals or whatever. You have to get it from them, and you have to get it right from them.
Well, my advice is do the best you can. Show it to them. Get a release if you think there's an issue. And have fun, but be careful.
That's great. I want to mention again, the name of the series is Vermont Wild, Adventures of Fish and Game Wardens, plus Maine Wild, and more coming by Megan Price. Well, Megan, I want to thank you very much for making time to talk to me this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thanks again.
From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington. Streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. And that was an interview with Vermont author Megan Price. You can learn more about her work at vermontwild.com. This week's Write the Book prompt is to write a story, poem, or essay that concerns wildlife or nature and maybe has a funny aspect to it. Good luck with your work in the coming week, and please tune in next week for another prompt or suggestion. If you'd like to share Write the Book with out-of-town friends, let them know, you already know all this, that archived episodes of Write the Book are available on iTunes and Spotify and lots of other places, including writethebook.podbean.com, as free podcasts. You can get updates on Twitter and Facebook by looking at Write the Book on each of those venues. You can also access the podcast at my own website, SheLaughsWithoutUs.com. If you go to my website, you'll also see a new tab, hashtag book giveaway. If you're interested in any of the books that you've heard on the show, you can ask if I still have my copy. And if I still have it, I will send it to you. If you have a guest to suggest or comments about the show or news about book-related events, please send an email to writethebook@gmail.com. If you like the show, please rate it in iTunes, like it on Facebook, and tell all your friends. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. You've been listening to Write the Book. This is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. Have a great week.